There are all kinds of ways that we celebrate Christmas, all kinds of traditions, all kinds of experiences, all kinds of hopes and longings that we'll have looking forward to in the next couple of hours, the next couple of days. We often find ourselves pulled because of all of these wonderful things. But there's also complexities at Christmas. There can be all kinds of emotions brought to the surface as well. And because Christmas is such a familiar thing, it can be really easy to rush through thinking we know the story well, that we can actually miss experiencing in new ways the beauty and wonder of what Christmas represents. And so this year, as an FAC family, our desire, our hope, our plan is that we want to just focus on Christmas. Just the love, the joy, the peace of Christmas. And so for the time that we have together, we're going to be focusing on simply Christmas. Bless you, church.
It's been a crazy year, so complicated and so unclear. Wasn't sure how you would get me here. But you did. So tonight I disappear, lost in the wonder of it all. It's Jesus in a manger and the glow of candles. Underneath the tree, and carolers singing Silent Night. The snow is gently falling, and the night's not in a rush. I'm taking time to treasure. It's simply Christmas. Ooh, another thousand times. Across the line, like you do. So tonight I bow my head, grateful for the wonder of it all, for Jesus in a manger and the glow of candles. Underneath the tree and carolers singing Silent Night. The snow is gently falling. There's a holy kind of hush. So take some time and treasure. It's simply Christmas. Simply Christmas. Would you sing this carol with us? Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Often when we think of the Christmas story, we think of Mary and Joseph, the manger, Jesus, Bethlehem, some shepherds. But the story doesn't start there. It starts long, long before. It begins with God, who out of love created the world, and he put people in it, starting with Adam and Eve, who shortly thereafter did what we have done countless, countless times, chose to live life on their own terms, just like we do. And this decision, this choice, it opened the door for deceit and dishonesty, for shame and for blame. And a chasm was formed between creation and creator. And so at the very beginning of the story of humanity, when creation was still new, all of humanity and all of creation began to wait, to anticipate, to long for, and to look for someone who could cross that chasm, who could save, who could restore, and who could unite God, creator, with creation again.
You know, I've followed the Lord my whole life, tried to anyway, and yet there's times where I feel like I don't know him at all. I still underestimate his love for us, what he's willing to do for us. It's beyond what we can imagine. I had an angel appear to me, yeah, told me that there was a child on the way, and that sounded impossible. Told me it'd be a boy, too. And that seemed like too much to hope for. My wife said as much, but it happened. Just like you said. I named him Isaac. I know, strange name, he laughs. But that's what Sarah did when she got the news, so it seemed fitting. He grew into it, too. A happy, adventurous child. The joy of any father's heart. That's why when the Lord asked of me what he did, it seemed like a cruel joke. I say asked, but I suppose I should say it was a command, plain and simple. take your son to Moriah and sacrifice him to me on that mountain. What was I supposed to do? This is the same God who gave him to me in the first place. Now he wanted him back. For 3 days, I mourned my son. That's how long it took to get to the mountain. For 3 days, Isaac was in the grave. Do you have any idea what that's like to march towards your own son's death, to know that every step draws you nearer? People ask me, how could you do such a thing? Don't you love your son? Of course I love him. Love him like I love myself, my wife, the very air that I breathe. And you bet I was mad at God at first. Said to him, give him back to you. Well, that's easy for you to say. You don't have a son of your own, do you? If you did, you might understand what you're demanding of me. But I've seen the Lord, and though I love him, I do fear him. And I believe in him. I believe that he loves me, that he loves Isaac. I believe that he cherishes him as his own son, of his own body. And if he'd let my knife fall that day, I suppose I believe he'd have raised my boy back to life. And that's how I went on that journey. Oh, yes, I love my son. I love him enough to put him back into the hands of his creator and see what glorious plan might come of it. And what did come of it? I don't know. I know that the Lord had mercy on me, that he stopped me at the last instant, said that he would bless me for not withholding my son, said I'd have descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the grains of sand on the seashore, and that all of the earth would be blessed because of them. I guess I won't be around to see all that. But was that all? Was it just a test that he wanted me to go through before he'd promised this legacy to me? I doubt that. I doubt it a lot. See, I think that Isaac's story, what happened here, was all a part of something bigger, something miraculous, like Isaac's birth was. I believe that the Lord has given me just a glimpse of what's to come. He has something in store for us, some plan, some gift, some display of his infinite love for us that's beyond what we can imagine. Sometimes, when I feel the Lord is close, when I feel his presence, I feel like I get just a glimpse of it, like a shimmer on the horizon, but it slips away.
If my heart is overwhelmed and I cannot hear your voice, I'll hold on to what is true, though I cannot see. If the storms of life, they come, and the road gets steep, I will lift these hands in faith, I will believe. I remind myself of all that you've done, and the life I have because of your son. Oh, every promise comes my way. When I feel your hands of grace rest upon me, staying desperate for you, God, staying humble at your feet, I will lift these hands in praise. I will believe. I remind myself of all that you've done and the life I have because of your Son.
It's a remarkable privilege to live on this side of that first Christmas, being able to see what God was doing in Jesus, writing the story of redemption for humanity. When we look into the Bible, it's all there, everything we need to know about God's plan for us. The people living in Isaiah's day, they didn't have that advantage. They had to maintain and hold on to a trust that God was still taking care of them, paying attention to them, that in stillness and in silence, his plan was still in motion, that he still loved them and that he was with them. And in that reality, God's word came to Isaiah. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Would you stand with us? And let's all join together and sing this carol out.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come.
Sing it out.
Let earth receive her King.
ovation of praise today. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Thank you so much. You may be seated.
How can this happen? That's what I asked him. The angel, when he came to me and told me that I'd have a son soon. I may be young, but I know enough to know how people have children, how a girl gets pregnant. I thought at first that he must mean that Joseph and I needed to get married right away, that we had to get started on a family. But that's not what he meant. And even though he started out by saying not to be afraid, I was still a little scared. But how do I explain it? Compared with the joy that I felt, that fear was like a faint shadow in the noonday sun. The angel was nothing like you can imagine. Beautiful and terrible, gentle and fearsome. They are not like us. And when they speak, you can hear and feel the truth of their words ringing in your mind. When he said to me, "Mary, you are blessed. The Lord is pleased with you," my spirit leapt for joy. It was like being held in the arms of God and him smiling on me. Then he told me who my son would be, and I knew myself to be the luckiest, most favored person in all the world. Pure joy. But there are times when it's hard to feel that joy again, hard to even remember it. How can this happen? That's what my mother yelled at me. She was the first to figure it out. I didn't tell anyone about the angel at first, but you can't hide a pregnancy for very long. When I told her and Dad, I think they wanted to believe me. It's hard, though. People stare at us, talk about us, avoid us. How can this happen? That's what Joseph asked me, too, when I finally had to tell him. I said, I don't know the how, just that the angel came to me and told me I'd have a child with no father but the Lord, and it happened. He didn't believe me. Didn't even pretend to, and I'd be divorced right now if the angel hadn't come to him too. I guess I don't blame him for that, but a part of me wishes he hadn't needed that. When I think about that, when I see people staring or hear the whispers when I pass, that's when I close my eyes and remember the angel, remember the joy. That's when I tell myself that the Lord is pleased with me, that he has blessed me. That's when I remember that here, oh, right here, I carry the hope of the world, that I've been entrusted with him, my child and my Lord. And for now, I get to hold him, just me. One day, others will hold him too. Mom and Dad, Joseph, my sisters. He'll be mine, but he'll be theirs too. And one day, like the angel said, he'll belong to all the world. He will be the salvation and the joy of all the world. But for now, for a short while, that joy is just for me.
Of the dear Savior's birth.
Long lay the world in sin and error, pining till he appeared.
In those days, Caesar Augustus made a law. It required that a list be made of everyone in the whole Roman world. It was the first time a list was made of the people while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone went to their own town to be listed, so Joseph went also. He went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea. That's where Bethlehem, the town of David, was. Joseph went there because he belonged to the family line of David. He went there with Mary to be listed. Mary was engaged to him. She was expecting a baby. While Joseph and Mary were there, the time came for the child to be born, and she gave birth to her first baby. It was a boy. She wrapped him in large strips of cloth, then she placed him in a manger. That's because there was no guest room where they could stay. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. It was night, and they were taking care of their sheep. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified, but the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news. It will bring great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Here's how you'll know I'm telling you the truth. You'll find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a large group of angels from heaven also appeared. They were praising God. They said, "May glory be given to God in the highest heaven, and may peace be given to those he's pleased with on earth." The angels left and went into heaven. Then the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby. And the baby was lying in the manger.
Stand with us, please. I'd love for you to sing another one of these wonderful carols of the season. Hark, the herald angels sing. Come on, let's give glory to the newborn King together today. Here we go.
Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations, rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the
God. Thank you so much, everyone. It's so good to sing together. You may be seated.
Glory to the newborn King. The page had turned and a new chapter begun as God took on human form as a newborn baby. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood, into our neighborhood. The earthly life of Jesus, the Son of God, began. A baby born to live a perfect human life. God emptied himself. He became vulnerable to demonstrate divine love. A level of sacrifice that cannot be matched. All to close the chasm between God and his people. Creator and creation. This is a day to celebrate. Oh, what a day it is.
It is a special day, and this is a special song. This next song that we'd like to do is called Oh What a Day. I'm going to invite Kids Choir to come. This song was written by us here at FAC Music, and the Kids Choir here at FAC called Elevate helped us record this song. And so we've got Linnea over here and Emily, and I know we've got a couple others, at least a couple others. So if you're in Elevate, come on up. Would you all stand with us out there? Makes it easier for them to get out. And come on up. I know we've got at least another couple. Yes, excellent. Come on up, you guys. And right on the X's, right here, right across the front. Anybody else? Any other ones? Okay, awesome. All right, well, we're going to sing this song together. And we're going to have a little bit of clapping. And there's going to be, go ahead, Kate. And there's going to be a bridge. And you're going to repeat after the kids in the bridge, okay? So it goes like this first. Let's put our hands together. And the kids are going to lead us in this. And then we'll catch on and sing together, all right? Here we go. Go for it, kids.
Star, lighting up the sky, shining in the night up high over Bethlehem to show them how to see where the baby lay in a bed of hay, in a manger, in a cattle stall. Shepherds gather round, astounded by the sound of the angels. Glory in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to everyone. God himself has come with abundant life for us all.
Oh, what a day.
Oh, what a day. Lift up your hands and sing. We're celebrating Jesus.
Thank you. Great job. Great job. Thanks, everybody. You may be seated.
What a day. What a day, Sting. I'm finally at peace. Have you ever heard the Lord speak to you? I have. Not in the way you hear a man talking to you, you understand, but it was no less real. In some ways, more real. It was years ago. I was praying as I walked along the roadside, and I turned around thinking I'd heard my name called, Simeon. When I looked around, there was no one there. But then I realized there had been no sound. But I'd heard something nonetheless, felt something. Again, a voice spoke in my mind, Simeon. And I said, I'm here. I'm listening. Suddenly, I saw myself in the temple. There was a young couple there to dedicate their newborn child to the Lord. I saw myself approaching them. The child was just a child, and yet not. In the vision, I could see with eyes like the Lord must see. And the child was all lit up with all the radiance of the heavens. His eyes shone with the light of eternity, as though all of the cosmos was there, looking out through those little eyes. And the one who had called me said, See, I am coming to you, king over all the world, but I will come as a child. And then he was gone. I was on the roadside, people passing, some wondering why I stood gaping there, staring at nothing. I was a young man when I had that vision. And as you can see, my youth and strength have fled me. But I've always known that I had an appointment to keep at the temple of Jerusalem, that I would see the Lord's salvation of the world, see it with my own eyes. I just didn't know when. There were times when I doubted. Was it a dream? Did I miss it? Did I miss my chance? But finally, the day has come. It was just like it was in the vision. I seem to see with eyes that see into the spirit and the soul. Where others saw a little child, I saw the Lord in the flesh. And when I spoke, it was with the voice of prophecy, not my words, but God's. The child's father and mother were amazed at what I had to say about him. I blessed them. And then I said something foreboding to the young mother. This child is going to cause many people in Israel to fall and to rise. God has sent him, but many will speak against him. The thoughts of many hearts will be known. A sword will wound your own soul too. Frightening, that last bit. But today is not the day to fear. It's one to rejoice. I have seen the Lord here among us, born as a man, just as the vision said I would. I didn't miss it. My life is complete and I am at peace. This will change everything. This is a turning point. Imagine it. The waiting is over. For centuries, we've longed for the Lord's Messiah to arrive, and he is here. No one will be born into a world of darkness again. We live in the peace of knowing that the Creator has come into the world to save us. Can you imagine it? Every generation, from this one to the last, lives in the glorious age of our Savior. I have been given a great gift. I have seen his face shining on me. And this grace, this promise of salvation, is for all of us, all Israel, all the world, for me and for you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Face toward you and give.
bless each other as we sing to one another today. Let's bless each other.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. 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 Amen.
Just sing this with me. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. They're old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then peal the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead nor doth he sleep. The lamp shall fail, the light prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill.
Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
Simply Christmas. We've heard the stories, the story of Abraham, Jesus' ancestor, and the awful price of love. The story of Mary, Jesus' mum, and the joy that she felt. The story of Simeon, an old guy hanging out at the temple, and his experience of peace. Although, to be honest, peace can seem fairly elusive. Even with something as simple as wrapping gifts, you can tell a lot about a person by the way they wrap their gift. Some people this year will receive a gift that came from a decorationally challenged individual, somebody perhaps like me. Gifts that looked as though they were wrapped by a troop of monkeys in some sort of scientific experiment to see how they would do. The tape's in the wrong place, the wrapping's sloppy, the crisp, sharp corners are nowhere to be found. Not at least by the way the people that have the gift of wrap do things. Their corners are tight, the paper is flat, you can't even see the tape anymore. It says something about a person that does that. You receive the gift and you're thinking, wow, how did they? Did they take a course? Is this some sort of gift from God that they can wrap like this? The rest of us mere mortals, we might be encouraged by a recent study that found out that sloppy wrapping might actually produce a better response. from the person that receives the gift. The University of Nevada did a survey on this. Researchers were looking at the way how wrapping impacts the perception of the gift inside. They published their journals and their findings in the Journal of Consumer Psychology with a theory that they called expectation disconfirmation theory. The big idea is that the better the present is wrapped, the higher the expectations of the person opening it, and then they may well be disappointed. However, if you wrap like me and it looks like a mess, well, the person opening thinks it can only get better than this. You can tell a lot by somebody about how they wrap. You can also tell a lot about people by what they choose to wrap their lives in. Life is full of options. Some of us wrap our lives up in work, or in family and relationships, or in finances and the quest for more. It tells us something, and we know it. We feel it, whether our lives are all wrapped up in food or fitness, recreation, MOOCs or music or travel. You can tell a lot about a person. Simeon's life was all wrapped up too. We read now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Simeon wrapped his life in the future. He was all about God coming to the rescue, the consolation of Israel. And he'd been waiting for a very long time, and it felt that life was slipping him by. It was approaching its end. And the burden of living with unfulfilled expectations was his. Maybe your life is wrapped up a little bit like that in hopes and dreams. They've sat in your head for the past months or a couple of years or longer. You've longed to meet that special someone. You've been hoping for a child. You're wondering if things could be different in your marriage. You've wanted to get out of one job or perhaps into another. You've dreamt about buying a home. You've prayed and hoped for COVID to end. I don't know what it would be for you, but I could take a pretty sure guess that your heart is filled with unfulfilled hopes. We know Simeon. Simeon was a man of faith. He'd kept the faith for a very long time. We know he was a man in touch with God. The Holy Spirit was on him. We know he was a man that had right relationships with God and other people. But still, he has these unfulfilled hopes and dreams. He's hanging out one day outside the temple in Jerusalem, something he liked to do, maybe outside the gates on the stairs. The day began like any other day for the thousands of days before in his life, when suddenly, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. Maybe that's why you're here today. Maybe that's why you're watching online. Something moved you, something stirred you. Maybe a friend invited you, you saw an ad, or you just felt this inner compulsion to show up and check out what's going on. Simeon was about to discover a very ordinary day was going to turn into an extraordinary day. This would be Simeon's best day ever, because in this day, he's going to meet Jesus, the promised Savior. Somehow, Simeon knows that this little kid is different than all the other little kids he's ever met in the temple beforehand. You can almost feel the chemistry of the moment when this kindly, old, gentle, saintly, stooped gentleman takes the baby boy in his arm and blesses him. We read this, that Simeon took him, Jesus, in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation and what you have prepared in the sight of all the nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Simeon can move on in peace. We know that feeling when there's been an answer to prayer, when the test results are negative, when you get a phone call that you've got the job. There's a sense of peace, a release. We can breathe. We can move forward with life again. We can press on. God kept his promise to Simeon. Now Simeon understood what it was to be at peace because of what he saw that day in the temple. And what did he see? He saw Jesus, the Savior, not just for him or for his people Israel, but for everybody, everywhere. It was a whole new perspective. Jesus would change everything. Simeon didn't have to live in the future anymore, wrapping himself up, hoping for something or someone. He had seen Jesus. Have you encountered Jesus like that? But suddenly the mood changes. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken again, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Turns out Jesus would force everybody to make a decision. Are you for him or against him? He'd be someone that people were going to speak out against. He would become the one against whom everyone and everything would be measured. What people do with him would be the true measure of their hearts. He has come to give his life for others, for you, for me, for us. It's a clear reference in Simeon's words to the suffering that was going to come for Jesus. He points out the cost and pain for Mary, his mother, that her child is the Messiah, and what this salvation would entail. He points forward to the fact that Jesus would take our place, surrendering his life so that we could live. John Stott wrote a little book called Basic Christianity. And in it, he wrote these words: once you hear Jesus' claims, you're forced to extremes. And by that, he elaborates that we either run away from Jesus afraid, or in anger we strike out towards him, or perhaps we kneel down in complete and utter surrender. Terror, anger, surrender. That's the choice. That's your choice today. Simeon, he discovered God's peace when he saw Jesus and surrendered. What about you? What are you going to do? Let's pray. Father, thank you today for the gift of Jesus. And as we think about simply Christmas, we're amazed at your love and joy and peace that can come to our lives. And I pray today that you would give all of us here in the room and online a fresh encounter of who Jesus is, and that we could discover his peace when we bow our knee and surrender and say yes to him. We pray in his name.
Simply joy, simply peace is all I really need. Simply love, simply joy, simply peace is all you are to me. Jesus in a manger, and the glow of candlelight, a few small gifts underneath the tree, and carolers singing Silent Night. The snow is gently falling, there's a holy kind of hush. So take some time and treasure, it's simply Christmas. Simply Christmas. Let's sing together.
just our voices. Let's sing it out together.
Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn.
Simply love, simply joy, simply peace, simply Christmas. And this Christmas, may we all anew experience the beauty and wonder of Jesus with us. May we respond well to him. It's been a delight to be together, to focus on these things together. I hope you have an amazing, amazing few days celebrating God with us. And so bless you, church. Merry Christmas to each and to every one of you. This weekend, Sunday morning, we're going to be having church together, and it's at my house. Well, don't show up to my door. It's online, but it is in my living room, and so it would be great to worship together this weekend. Home for the Holidays is our series for the next couple of weekends. You're all invited. It's going to be great to continue focusing on Jesus together. If you're online, my friend, Pastor Corey, he's gonna be joining you in just a moment. Merry Christmas, online. Friends, to those in the room, the absolute merriest of Christmas to you all. And bless you. Hope you have a wonderful, wonderful day. And we'll see you again real soon. Bye for now.